Welcome to the WebSphere Support Technical Exchange. Today's topic is WebSphere MQ version 7.1 multi-version first step. Today's presenters are Barry Robbins, Justin Fries, and Rich Montjoy. Barry has worked for IBM for over 30 years. For the last 22 years, he has worked customer support, including support of the KIX and TX series products. In 2002, he joined the WebSphere MQ support team. Barry is currently responsible for resolving customer problems as they relate to WebSphere MQ for distributed platforms. Justin has been working with WebSphere MQ for over 14 years and with the service integration bus since its first release. Justin focuses on resolving WebSphere MQ issues on Unix and Linux systems and works to improve the serviceability of WebSphere MQ on all platforms. Rich has worked in IBM customer support for 17 years. He joined the WebSphere MQ support team in 1998 and was a founding member of the Service Integration Bus support team. Rich is currently working on WebSphere MQ distributed system problems. At this point in time, I would like to turn the presentation over to Rich.
Thank you for joining the first of a two-part session focusing on the new multi-version functionality with MQ 7.1. We'll start with a quick look at our agenda, which includes an overview of multi-version installs, what does it buy me, an explanation of installation names, primary installations, and why they are important. A review of what is installed, as there are some changes there, and then we'll move on to look at the multi-version installation steps on the various platforms and spend some time with the new commands specific to multi-versions. We'll finish with a summary and some useful URLs that you can refer to later. As we go along, I'll try to comment on some aspects that we'll be touching on next week in the session focusing on migration, application connectivity, and diagnostics. Slide number three, please. With 7.1, it is now possible to install multiple installations of the product, up to 128 installations, on a system with MQ 7.0.1.6 or later. Multiple versions is supported on AIX, Linux, Solaris, HPUX, and Windows, so not available on ZOS and I. The location for each of these installs, which we'll look at more, is chosen at installation time, and we have a few new commands to manage these installations that Barry will walk us through later. Slide four, please. Just another peek at our agenda again. In this section, we'll focus on the benefits of multiple installations, what a primary installation is, and why you now need to care about where your queue managers are running. Slide five. Benefits. So you can have multiple versions. What does this really buy me? With the previous versions of MQ, you had to remove the product binaries when you installed a new version, as you could only have one version on a system at a time. With 7.1 and later, you can install a new version in its own installation path and easily switch a queue manager from one installation to another with a simple command. This means you can install, update, or remove one MQ installation while queue managers associated with another installation happily continue on. For example, you could have a prod queue manager at 7.1 humming along in installation 1 and another installation on a later release of MQ installed on the same box called installation 2 that you're doing testing on. Once you feel the testing is completed, you can stop the queue manager, run a command, and have the 7.1 queue manager on installation 1 now run the queue manager under the newer release, installation 2, when it restarts. Depending on the migration strategy, you also get the added benefit of the sysadmin handling the install for you, while the MQ admin at some later date controls which and when the queue managers are migrated. More about migration in next week's presentation. This multiple version functionality also allows you to test easily against multiple versions of the product and allows your application to connect simultaneously to queue managers in different installations. Justin will talk more about the application switching in some detail in the second session. Slide 6, please. So when you're thinking about installing 7.1, there are some things to think about. 1, if you want 7.1 to coexist with 7.0.1, then you must be at 7.0.1.6 or greater. Keep in mind the 7.0.1.6 installation will always be the primary installation, installation 0. More on primary installations and why they're important in a few slides. 2, where are you going to install 7.1? With earlier versions on Unix, we had a fixed installation path. Not so anymore. 3, what naming conventions will you use for your installations? As we'll see later, you can't change the name for your installations, so you don't want to name an installation 7.1.0.0 if you plan on migrating the queue managers for this entire installation to 7.1.0.1, for example. It would work, it just wouldn't make sense. 4, very important, you now need to pay close attention to which queue manager is associated with each installation and which installation you are running your commands against. Resources from one installation are not meant to be accessed from another installation. Each queue manager is associated with one and only one install, and MQ commands for that queue manager need to be issued from the associated installation, meaning don't try to run a 7.1 command for a 7.0.1.6 queue manager because you'll get an error saying that the queue manager is not associated with that installation. Slide 7, please. Installation and data paths. So pre-7.1 MQ on Windows always allowed you to specify your own installation path. However, on Unix, this was fixed to OptMQM on Linux Sun, HP UX, and UserMQM on AIX. A single installation meant there was no need for a flexible installation path. Only one copy of MQ could be installed at a time. However, this has changed at 7.1. At 7.1, the installation of the binaries is no longer fixed and is chosen at install time by options for the various platform installers. The Info Center uses the term relocatable, so if you do some referencing in there, that's what you want to search on. You can still install to the old defaults of OptMQM, UserMQM, and AIX if nothing else is installed there. Keep in mind, each installation is independent, meaning installations located in a specific location on disk. Nothing is installed outside the installation path. On Unix platforms, queue manager data, queues, logs, etc., will be shared across installations under bar and queue. So if you had 10 installations with 10 queue managers each, all 100 of the queue managers will be under bar and queue. With Windows, the data path is selected with the first installation and all subsequent installs of 7.1 or greater will use this. So if you have 7.0.1.6 and program files IBM WebSphere MQ and install 7.1, the queue manager data will be under that original 7.0.1 directory. Details of the installations are held in a file under seopt mqinst.ini on Unix and in the registry on Windows. Slide 8, please. Installation names. On Unix systems, the first installation of 7.1 or later is installation 1. Windows allows a different name to be given due to how its installer works. If an installation of 7.0.1.6 exists, then it will always be installation 0. As mentioned earlier, the name of the installation is important because it can't be changed currently. Names are limited to 16 characters and numbers, case insensitive, and again, we're limited to 128 installations. You can control the name of subsequent installations after installation 1 using the new critmqinst command that Barry will go over later. Slide 9, please. Changes. Worth pointing out some differences with 7.1, some of which I've mentioned already. Each installation will have its own installation of GSKit. We tried very hard to keep the installations separated by design, and this means if you have 10 installations of 7.1 on a server and install the GSKit option during the installs, then you'll get the 10 installations of GSKit. Everything is now under the installation path, including the conversion tables and message catalogs. As mentioned, all installations share the same directory. All your queue manager stuff will be together. So even though you can have multiple installations, the queue manager names need to be unique on a system. We've always said they need to be unique on an MQ network, so no big surprise there. Windows, most of the configuration data is held in INI files except when we coexist with 7.0.1.6. At 7.0 of MQ on Windows, we kept things in the registry, and we didn't want to break that. Windows and Linux get their own copy of Eclipse to run MQ Explorer. Again, we're keeping the installations compartmentalized. No more symbolic links by default, but you get them with a primary installation, which we'll see next. Slide 10, please. Primary installations. A primary installation creates system-wide resources to make MQ behave like it always did. You bring up a shell and you type in a command without changing your environment, and it will be able to run and get your queue managers in your primary installation. Primaries are optional. You don't have to have them, and we'll talk about why you may not want one on a Unix environment. Automatic primary selection differs per platform. On Windows, the first installation on a machine defaults to being primary. On Unix, no installations, not even the first, default to being primary. One and only one installation can be marked primary. If you have 7.0.1.6 installed, it will always be primary to ensure backwards compatibility. You specify an installation as primary with a new command that Barry will go over later, setmqinst. On Unix, the primary installation will create links in user bin and user lib. On Windows, the primary installation registers with the .NET Global Assembly Cache, or GAC. This allows 7.1.NET applications to switch to other installations. It is possible to load the .NET assemblies from other installations using a config file, which we document in the Info Center. There's a whole page dedicated to that. So for users who want MQ to work as it always did, then the primary installation gets you there. Again, the primary installation is optional. You don't have to have one, and you can opt to use the new script setmqmv, which Barry will also talk about. It allows you to configure your environment for a specific installation, and you're going to be hearing a lot about setmqmv. Slide 11, please. Primary installation options. So when considering primary installations, there are potential combinations of 7.1 that we'll discuss here. One 7.1 installation by itself, so no pre-existing 7.0.1.6 and no 7.1 or later install. This works just like MQ always did. On Unix, you can install 7.1 by itself and not have it be a primary installation. If so, then you need to set up the environment so you pick up the proper binaries. You can install 7.1 alongside 7.0.1.6. Here, the 7.0.1.6 installation will automatically be named installation 0 and automatically be primary for backward compatibility, as again, we don't want to break the 7.0.1.6 environment by simply installing 7.1. We want the 7.0.1.6 behavior to stay unchanged. You can run MQ commands and have your apps connect to 7.1.0.6 as they always did. However, if you want to run commands for 7.1, then you have to use the setmqenv script to set up the environment. You'll notice the frequent reference to setmqenv, as this is a change that users will need to get used to. If you have multiple 7.1 installations, then the best practice is not to use primary installations and to use setmqenv to work with those installations. You'll want to get in the habit of specifying your environment and not relying on MQ's previous assumed behavior. So remember, set your environment, set your environment, set your environment. .NET users, an important safety tip, is only one of the installations primary will register with a GAC, just reinforcing that. Page 12, please. So here we're looking at our agenda again, and I'll pass it on to Justin to take you through the installation on the Unix platforms.
Thanks, Rich. Let's go to slide 13 and take a look at installation on AIX. Before I get into the installation on these various Unix and Linux platforms, I just want to say up front, if you're planning to install only one version of MQ on a system, and if you're planning to install it in the default location, then absolutely nothing changes from any previous release. So these instructions are geared towards installing MQ in a non-default location or installing multiple versions of MQ. So with that said, on AIX, AIX has a concept of something called a user-specified installation location, or USIL. And it's a concept that it uses to track where software is installed on the system. So on AIX, a USIL consists of a directory, and underneath that there are several subdirectories with files that track the software vital product data, which is installed under that USIL. These subdirectories are going to look like a little version of the AIX ODM, or Object Data Manager. AIX provides four commands for working with USILs. There's commands to make a USIL, to list USILs, change their attributes, and also to remove them. And in addition to that, some of the commands on AIX that work with software, like LSLPP, LPPCheck, and so forth, add a minus capital R flag to work with software that's in a USIL. Let's go on to slide 14. So, in order to install WebSphereMQ in a USIL, this is the command right at the top of the foil that's given in the Information Center. You have to run the install p command from the command line, give a minus capital R option and the USIL directory, and then there are a bunch of flags you can see there, followed by either the word all, meaning you wish to install all the components of MQ, or you have to list the individual file sets. If you don't want to use install p directly, for example, I often find when I'm installing software that I like to preview the installation first. And then after the preview successfully completes, then I like to run it. You can do that from the command line, but it means that you have to check the man page for install p and figure out what those options are. There is another option. You can instead use the SMIT panels. There's an option called SMIT relocatable, which you can type directly from the command line to go right there. Or in SMIT, go to Software Installation and Maintenance, and underneath that, Relocatable Software Installation and Maintenance. Now, one word of caution, if you do use the SMIT Relocatable panels, there is an APAR that's relevant for AIX 7.1 and 6.1 to make those panels work properly, and those are listed below. For AIX 7.1, at Technology Level 1, you need to have APAR IV01347, and Technology Level 6, you'd want that as well for AIX 6.1 in order to pick up APAR IV00943. And there's a non-install issue here as well. At these levels of AIX, there are hyper-APARs that are necessary for MQ, and these are listed in the MQ-supported software environment on the website. So for AIX 7.1, you really want to put hyper-APAR IZ84576 on 7.1 Technology Level 1, and on AIX 6.1 Technology Level 6, you really want to put on IZ84729. So, one other thing about USILs. When you install WebSphereMQ into a USIL, it doesn't go directly into that root USIL directory. Instead, it creates a user MQM subdirectory underneath that. So if, for example, your USIL is user IBM WMQ710 test01, then MQ is going to be all the way under user IBM WMQ710 test01 / user / MQM. So the paths may be a little bit longer on AIX. Let's go to slide 15. So here's a quick look at the SMIT panels for the relocatable software installation. As soon as you go under the SMIT relocatable option and use any install option, it's going to ask you which USIL do you want to work with, and it will list them all for you. Once you choose your USIL, you can do things like listing the software that's there, updating software, removing software. It's very convenient. But there's one little quirk about installing software under the SMIT relocatable panels. The way it works by default is that it wants to install all latest software, which means it will install WebSphereMQ, but the only language it will install as far as message catalogs is your current language. So if you wish to have an install of MQ and you want to have, for example, English and German and Japanese and French, then you would either have to use the install p command line option, or under SMIT relocatable, you can change the software selection to all. That's the only quirk. Otherwise, the SMIT panels are pretty easy to use, and you can do all the things you used to do with non-relocatable installs. So let's go on to the next page, slide 16. This is on HP Unix. On HP Unix, you have to pass the full path of the installation file for MQ to the sw install command. So, for example, sw install minus s, and then your full path out to the file. Now, at the bottom of the page, I've given a slightly simpler version of that. If you're in the directory with the file, and you probably will be because you'll have to run the MQ license script, you can run sw install minus s, and then backticks run the pwd command, which will insert the current directory for you. So that's a little bit simpler. Once you're in the sw install GUI, you have to mark either the entire MQ series product, or you can go down a level into the MQ series product and mark the components that you want individually. And then once you've done that, you need to use, from the actions menu, the change product location option if you want to choose an alternate install directory for EBSWAREMQ. And if we go to file foil 17, we'll take a look at that. So here's an example of SW install, and I've highlighted from the actions menu the change product location option. Now, in order to get this option, you must have that MQ series item, which is sort of behind the drop-down menu. It has to be highlighted. If that's not highlighted, even if you've marked it, if you go to the actions menu, you will not see change product location. So that catches me out every time, and therefore I thought I'd include a picture so it's easy to see what to do. Go to foil 18. In addition to allowing you to choose where to install on HP, you do also have to set one other option if you're going to have more than one version of MQ on the system. And that's from the options menu, choose allow creation of multiple versions. And then after you do that, you can use the install command from the actions menu. Now, once you're done with the installation, and this is an important step you don't want to miss, you do have to run from the command line the swconfig command, as listed there, and that will configure MQ to enable it to work with multiple versions. On the swconfig command, you'll have to give the path to the MQ installation that you chose earlier. This is all documented in the Information Center as well. Well, let's go to slide 19. On Linux. Now, Linux is based on RPMs, or at least WebSphereMQ is RPM-based. And a quirk of RPMs is that you can only have a single copy of an RPM with a particular name. So, MQ ships a little over a dozen RPMs, I should think. And if you have installed them already on your system, you can't install those RPMs with the same name again. So, we ship with MQ a command called CRT-MQ-PKG, which will essentially modify the RPMs that we ship and add onto them a suffix, thereby changing their name. So, for example, if you run CRT-MQ-PKG space test, then it will rebuild the RPMs and output them to a different directory, renamed with the suffix test. And it's important to note that just renaming the RPMs won't work. This is actually a bit of a repackaging, which is necessary to ensure that dependencies and other details work out properly. Once you have the RPMs renamed, just go to the directory that CrateMQ package told you about, and you can then do the RPM command to install it. Now, as far as choosing where those RPMs will be installed, you need to use the minus minus prefix option. In the example given on the foil, minus minus prefix /op/IBM/WMQ/test. And underneath that directory will be all the binaries, libraries, and other components of MQ. Let's go on to foil 20, and we'll talk about Solaris. Solaris is similar to Linux in many ways, even though it's not RPM-based. We also ship on Solaris this tool called CRT-MQ-PKG with the same syntax, and it allows you to modify the MQ package, which is normally just called MQM. So if I run CRT MQ package space test, it will build for me a new package called MQM-test rather than just MQM. As far as choosing where to install, when you run the package add command for your modified package of WebSphereMQ, it will prompt to install in the default location, which is opt MQM. And when it asks, is this okay, just type N or no, and then enter the path where you want MQ to be installed. Now, a note about CRT MQPKG. The suffix that you choose for either Linux or Solaris, it can match the installation name if you wish it to, but it doesn't have to. It's not required. So that's entirely your choice. 1221, and I'm going to turn over to Barry Robbins, who's going to speak to WebSerMQ installation on Windows.
Thanks, Justin. So for Windows installation, we'll focus on a basic installation, and again, limit the discussion to multi-version specific content and panels. The first three files I'd like to show you will show the different starting environments, with this first panel showing what you would initially receive should a 7.0.1.6 version of MQ already exist on the system. As you can see, you will have the choice to install the 7.1 code on its own, or you can select the upgrade option to the 7.0.1.6 installation. Let's go on to file 22. The second initial panel I'm showing you here is what you will receive for MQ prior to 7.0.1.6 existing on the system. As you can see at the top, it says the existing installation cannot coexist with this release of WebSerMQ, and it will be upgraded. So your choices are strictly update the existing installation. There is a custom button here that will allow you to select what components you want, but again, you are limited to just an upgrade at this point. Let's move on to 4023. In this last initial panel option, you can see that the only version existing on the system is 7.1. You have two options, either install, new, or migrate, upgrade. And by this, if you had a new install image you want to put in there and upgrade to 7.1 to 7.1.0.2, you could do that. Let's move on to slide 24. We've already stated choosing the installation location and the installation name is critical, because once these items are selected, they cannot be changed. Because you'll want to control these two aspects of your installation, you need to select the custom option on this panel. Let's move on to slide 25. So here you can see what you'll get as an option where you can set the installation name, and on Windows, as Rich has already stated, you can set the installation name on the very first install of 7.1. You also have the option to create an installation description, as well as determine the folder in which you wish to place the installation. Now, the installation location I'm showing here is the default location based on the existing 7.0.1.6 environment. You also note that make this the primary installation is grayed out. That's because on the system in question, 7.0.1.6 existed. And because of, as Rich stated, 7.0.1.6 would always have to be the primary installation. Let's move on to 4026. Okay, so this panel shows the installation summary based on your selections, giving you a chance to review prior to starting the install. All this panel will contain all the details of your installation selections, including selected features, you know, client, Java, .NET, messaging, and web services, etc. We're just focusing on the multi-version install details. You can see in this installation name, entered name of test 01 is followed by the entered description, which in this case I call primary test. Although I use the word primary in my description text, this is not a primary install. Important to make that distinction. One last point, as part of my testing work here, I've had the pleasure of installing and uninstalling 7.0 and 7.1 several times. I can tell you that 7.1 does install much faster or installs much faster than previous releases. Let's move on to slide 27. So what I've done here is I've taken the start menu and selected the WebSerMQ folder and opened that up so you could see the items that are in the WebSerMQ folder on my particular system. Note the fact that there are three key management shortcuts, three prepare wizard shortcuts, and three explorer shortcuts, one for each installation. It's really easy to distinguish these 7.1 installs because the installation name is added to the end of each one of the shortcuts. Let's move on to slide 28. You'll also note, if you look at your services, that we now have three services, one for each installation. Again, this is a three installation environment. I have a 7016 and two 7.1 installs. And we've highlighted those here on this page. Let's move to slide 29. I know this went rather quickly, but it is fairly simple to install on Windows. But wrapping up on the Windows install, note that there was no option to set the destination folders or data for data or logging. That's because, as Rich stated, there's always going to be just one in the system that's going to be the default location. This can only be set during the initial installation on the system. So if you install 7016, then it's when you can set those settings. If you're a brand new system and you're going to install 7.1, your very first install 7.1 is where you can control those locations. You'll also find that Eclipse is no longer part of the prereq prior to the install. You can no longer choose a location in GSKit. As Rich alluded to, these are installed as part of the package. They go into the same location that you identify for the installation. One item missing from here, which is unique to Windows. If after you add one or more 7.1 installations, you decide you want to remove the 7016 installation, you'll need to ensure that you stop all queue managers for all installations prior to the uninstall. This is a Windows-only issue, and that's because we are going to migrate the queue manager information from the registry to an INI file, as Rich pointed out earlier in the presentation. And note that it's always best to install the data and logs in a separate location from the executable code. Moving on to page 30. So the next area we're going to talk about are new and updated commands associated with the multi-install. And with that, let's go ahead and move on to FOIL 31. For the first command, set MQENV. Rich talked about this earlier. This command will be the most common used of the new commands. Set MQENV is used to establish the MQ environment for your shell. As you can see, to update several environment settings like path, fastpath, MQJRE, path, etc. This will allow the issuing of commands against the associated queue managers. The most common syntax you will see is set MQENV-S, but you do have the option to set the environment or queue manager with the minus M flag or by the installation name with the minus N flag. An important note, on Unix and Linux systems, you must source the set MQENV using the dot syntax. If you don't, the 7.0.1.0 code won't give you an error. It will just have no effect. We kind of thought this was a little bit of a concern. So with the first fix pack, there's actually going to be a message issued, an AMQ8595, which basically states that you failed to source the command should you miss that step. Let's move on to FOIL 32. So, if set MQENV is going to be the most commonly used command, PRT MQENV will be the least used, at least directly. By saying directly, it is used every time you run the set MQENV command, which calls CRT MQENV to create the list of environment variables for a specific installation, basically doing all the work. You should never need to run this command directly. I'm included here just mainly for completeness. So since this isn't the command we're looking for, let's move along to slide 33. An update, the DSPMQVER command. We've added a minus I flag to receive information on all installations. We've also increased the level of detail provided from the DSPMQVER command. As you can see, we've added platform addressing mode, the operating system, data path, the installation name, description, and path, where the installation is primary or not, and the maximum command level for the installation. For those of you that might have scripts based on the previous behavior, there is a minus F15 option, which will allow you to limit to the output to the original four items. And if we go to 34, I have a sample here of the output with all the new fields, as well as, if you see at the bottom, there's an indication that there is another installation which can use a minus I command or I flag on the DSPMQ ver command and get details on the additional installations installed on this system. Let's move on to slide 35. Another updated command is DSPMQ, which provides status information for the queue managers. We've added an installation option to the minus O flag for this command. This provides you with some installation name, path, and version for each queue manager. These details have also been included in the minus O all option. So if we go to page 36, I have some sample output here. And you can see, besides the default queue manager status, where it's a default queue manager, where it's a standby, which is associated with multi-instance, you have the installation name, the installation path, and the installation version for the three systems we have and three queue managers we have on this particular machine. Let's move on to 37. The new command setMQ, this command allows you to move or associate your queue manager with a different installation. Syntax is fairly straightforward. Identify the queue manager and the installation you would like the association to the queue manager associated with. Migration of the queue manager will occur once the queue manager is started. The command doesn't really alter the queue manager itself. This command cannot be used to associate the queue manager with an earlier release, so you can't associate a 7.1 queue manager back to 7.0. You can move a queue manager back to an earlier modification level or fix level, but we'll discuss more of this in the presentation next week. Let's move on to slide 38. Let's talk a little bit about installation management. Rich talked about this earlier in the presentation. We keep information associated with installation on Unix systems in the mqinst.ini file. And on Windows systems within the registry, and I've given you the 32 and 64-bit locations. WebSkyMQ provides four commands to manage the installation: dspmqinst, setmqinst, crtmqinst, and dspmqinst. These last two commands are only available for Unix Linux systems. Let's have a look at each one. Let's move on to slide 39. Let's start with the dspmqinst command. If you run this option with no options, it displays details of all installations within the system. You can request details based on its path or its name if you only want to look at a single installation. On Unix and Linux systems, if you have an uninstalled installation, you'll see a series of question marks in the version field. Let's move on to slide 40. And here's some sample output for three installations on the system that we've been showing in other examples. You can see in the version field in each one of these, we have a 7016, which is installation 0. As Rich pointed out earlier, 7016 is always going to be installation 0, followed by installation 1, which on a Unix and Linux system, you don't have control of the first installation name, and so it's always going to be installation 1. Then you can see installation name associated with the third install. We actually had the opportunity to set an installation name. Let's move on to slide 41. So the next new command for management is setmqinst. Use perform limited updates on the installation. As already stated, you can't alter the installation name or path, but this command does allow you to set and unset the primary installation and update the description. Note that you must unset the primary installation prior to setting a new installation as primary. You can't simply set an installation as primary if another installation is currently set as a primary installation on the system. Because this command updates the MQ install INI or registry, you'll need root or admin authority to run it. Go on to slide 42. If you would like to set your installation name on a Unix or Linux system, use the create MQ inst command. This allows you to set the name and the location, and you can see from the common syntax, minus N for installation name, minus P for installation path. Use this prior to doing the actual install. You can, if you wish, set the description, but that's something you can change with the set MQ inst. You'll notice there's no option to set primary, and you'll notice that this is strictly a Unix and Linux utility. That's because, as I showed in the install windows, you can create or set the instance as part of your normal install process. Moving on to slide 43. Lastly, the DLT MQ inst command. This command is used to remove an installation entry. Command syntax is to use a minus N name or minus P path flags. If you run this command without first uninstalling the reference version code, then you'll receive an AMQ 7550 error telling you the entry is still active. So you can only delete an installation once you've actually uninstalled the product from the system. This command is only available on Unix and Linux systems and is only necessary on these platforms. And again, that's because when you uninstall on the Windows system, Windows uninstall process cleans up the registry. It requires root authority to run, because, again, you're altering this file. So with that, we'll move on to file 44, and I'll turn things back over to Rich.
Thanks, Barry. So if we look at the agenda again, in summary, we started with a look at what is meant multi-installs with 7.1, benefits, considerations, and changes, and what we mean by primary installations. Justin went through the install procedure for each Unix platform and tried to point out some key install points with multiple versions. And we finished with Barry showing us the window install and a look at new and updated commands. I'd like to encourage everyone to listen in next week when we'll talk about migration strategies, fix packs, and how you apply them with multi-version, application connectivity, and diagnostic changes relating to multiple installations. Slide 45, please. So here we have some references that we hope will be useful. The 7.1 Information Center has been largely restructured, written with some added stress on task-oriented topics. It has been reduced from, I think, 26,000 topics to 14,000 topics while keeping the essential info. So this has improved the navigation and search capabilities. And it's a work in progress, so I encourage you to submit feedback. If you're on a page that you feel needs some improved wording or better detail, there's an option there at the bottom of each page to submit feedback, and I can tell you from personal experience that they do respond to those and in a timely fashion and, you know, consider your changes and your suggestions. We have a link to the system requirements, which you'll want to review before installation, and a link to the Passport Advantage site for those of you with accounts to download 7.1. At the bottom, we have a link to a tech note on a side-by-side migration. I'll be going over the migration in the next session. And finally, a link to USIL for AIX users. Thanks, everyone, and I'll turn it back to Joseph.
Thank you, Barry, Justin, and Rich for a great presentation today. At this point in time, Jackie, we would like to open the line for questions.
Malik Patel, your line is open.
Yes, I have a quick question about migrating the queue manager from one version to another version of the installation. Is it independent to 32-bit and 64-bit also? For example, let's say if I have a current queue manager 32-bit running on 7.0.1.6 and I would like to migrate to 7.1 64-bit, is it still let me do it, or I need to recreate a queue manager for that, and also vice versa? For example, I have queue manager 64-bit running on 7.0.1.6, and I'm planning to migrate to 7.1, 32-bit. It still let me do it, or I have to recreate QManager?
I'm not quite sure of your question, because since version 6, all QManagers have been 64-bit. Now, they support 32-bit applications and 64-bit applications, but they're all 64-bit instances of the product. So from a migration standpoint, you can migrate from version 6 up to 7.1, and there is no 32 or 64-bit requirement as far as what you're talking about. Does that make sense?
Agree. But let's see, if I have a qm.ini file described with the 32-bit, hold on, let me pull up like that. Yes, in qm.ini file, let's say if I describe the module during the creating the QManager, if I describe the module equal to OPDM QM lib 64, instead of 64, if I describe lib and AMQ ZFU, which means it's 32-bit QManager. So it still let me do it when I migrate to 7.1 on 64-bit?
Well, if you're talking about a version of MQ, a previous version that was like a 32-bit, like MQ for x86, for example?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. The Information Center talks about migration paths. Like, you're talking about maybe going from that MQ 32-bit up to, say, Webster MQ for x86 64, perhaps?
Yes.
Okay.
From the one version to, I mean, from the 7.0.1.6 to 7.1.
Right, yeah. So jumping from 32 to 64-bit, I believe, is covered in the Information Center. The 7.1 Information Center has a section called Migration Paths, which describes what versions you can migrate from, and I believe it covers all of that as well. Is it something that you've done and you're having some trouble with, or is it just something that you're planning?
This feature is allow me to do my downtime of my production when I do upgrading in MQ. So I'm just thinking, what are the consequences I need to look for it when I migrate from 32-bit to 64-bit, and also, let's say, for example, from the 64-bit to 32-bit, do I need to recreate QManager or let me do it on the fly when I migrate from one version to another version? So, yeah, this is just for the knowledge.
Well, I will say generally the migrating, like if you have two versions of MQ for a platform, and Linux I could think would be the big one where we have a 32-bit version or did and we have a 64-bit version, the migration paths there are a little bit more limited. You just don't go back and forth between the 32 and 64-bit versions of the product. There are some specific cases where you can go from 32-bit version, say at, you know, version 6, and then upgrade to the 64-bit version. But, for example, within a release, you know, you can't go from the 32-bit product to the 64-bit product. So there are definitely some restrictions, and there's no going back from 64 to 32-bit as far as I know.
Okay, I see. Okay. Thank you so much.
Surely.
Thank you. Our next question is from Giordano Pila. Your line is open.
So I have a question, like, just want to check, like, the new features of 7.1, will they be available for the primary installation?
Well, the new features of 7.1 are available for all installations. So even if you have, you know, three installations of 7.1, all of them will share the same capabilities. The primary installation stuff, On Unix, it's mostly about making sure that previous assumptions that people had about MQ, that you log into the system and the MQ commands are available, or that the libraries are available, a primary installation sort of restores that. And on Windows, its primary installation also does things like make sure we have a service called IBM MQ Series, because some people are used to doing a net stop or a net start on that, and about registering with the Global Assembly Cache. But even if you have an installation that's not primary, it can do everything that the primary installation can. And with regard to things like applications connecting and so forth, we're going to talk a bit more about that one in the next session, I think.
Right, so you just have to make sure, as we kind of stress, that you set your environment if you're not using a primary installation. So if you remember to set your environment, and then everything should be okay for you.
Right. I understand the certain MQ environment will set the particular environment for, say, 7.1, either primary or non-primary. But my question is, can we run both the installations and say if I have QManager A on primary installation of 7.16 and I have QManager B on 7.1, will I be able to run both the QManagers parallelly?
Yes.
Okay.
That's the big point that we'll talk about with in the migration section next week, is the big advantages. As you can see, you can be upgrading and migrating QManagers in one installation while your QManagers keep cruising along in your other installation.
Okay.
Yeah, and
if you had
10 installations, each with a QManager, all 10 QManagers in different installations can all be running simultaneously.
And will there be, any performance issues, and how many installations can we run? Say, I'm having a system configuration of 4 GB RAM and, say, 30 GB of memory.
The hard limit on the number of installations is 128. As far as how much you can run in, say, 4 GB of RAM, that really depends on what you do with your QManagers. I mean, you could have 50 QManagers not doing very much, and that might run in 4 gig. Or you could have one really busy QManager that's not going to run in 4 gig of RAM. So that's kind of a sizing issue. You probably need to keep an eye on how much memory you're using as your QManagers are running, especially if they're running some sort of production load.
Okay. And how about applying this to virtual machines? Say I'm having Windows running on virtual machines. And will I be able to run multiple instances on virtual machines with same performance as in physical servers?
Yeah, I don't think the multi-version changes anything about the... There's a statement by IBM on the website about virtual machines, and nothing about multi-version would change anything related to that. You mentioned earlier, and I forgot to answer, about are there performance hits to having multiple versions at the same time, and there really aren't. I mean, if you have... say, two QManagers, both running from a single installation on one system, have another system with two QManagers, each in a different installation, there's really no performance difference between the two.
Okay.
I mean, except that in general, there have been improvements to performance in MQ 7.1. So I guess I should say that you may find things will be overall faster in general as you get onto later versions. So there is that.
Okay. And you said we can set the installation to a particular QManager setMQ using command setMQ installation. So using this command, say I have QManager A running on 7.16, will I be able to change or migrate this QManager to 7.1?
Absolutely, yes. Now,
okay.
Because going from 7.0 to 7.1, you're crossing a release boundary, you can't use setNQM to go back, but you can go forward. In order to go back,
okay.
Well, we'll talk about that more next week, but that's exactly what setNQM is for.
Okay. Thanks for all the answers.
Surely.
Right, and that's one of the big things that we anticipate customers will be taking advantage of, is the ability to have the different versions on the different installations and to upgrade one of the installations quickly versus the downtime associated with installing the product like we previously had to do.
Okay. I just have one more question. Say if I'm having a Kubernetes installed on older version and later when I migrate, you said we can migrate even without, stopping the QManagers. Is that true? But in between, I heard that we need to stop the QManagers during upgradation. Which one is that?
When you migrate a QManager from when you associate with the new installation using setMQM, that QManager needs to be shut down at that time. But the savings in time that Rich is going to be covering next week is that you can already have your new installation installed and ready to go while your QManager was running. Then when you're ready to migrate it, you shut it down, run setMQM, and then start it up under the new installation.
Right, and then the advantage also, too, in the multi-stage migration is that you can do your queue managers individually, meaning that, you know, you can migrate, you know, two on one day, three on another day, four on another day. You can do them one by one, and the other production queue managers can be running while you're migrating one of them.
And can we have same listener different instances, different installations?
Well, any of the queue manager, services, things like listeners and the rest of it, are going to be associated with that queue manager, which means that they're running from the installation for that queue manager. But, I mean, otherwise listeners work pretty much exactly as before. I mean, individual queue managers would have to be on different port numbers, on TCP/IP at least.
Yeah, even Krishna was asking same question, a similar question, like, can we have two queue managers have same name in multi-version?
No, the namespace is a single namespace. So you can only have one queue manager called A, and it will have one installation associated with it. And you can move it to a new installation, but you'll only ever have one queue manager. That's true on Windows and on Unix and Linux.
Okay. Okay, thanks for all the answers.
Our next question comes from Andy Lievers. Your line is open.
Hi. You mentioned at the beginning that this isn't on iSeries, and I wondered, are there any plans for this on iSeries?
IBM hasn't stated any plan for this on iSeries, as far as I know. If there is anything, I'm sure we'll be, putting it to the public website. But at the moment, no, I'm not aware of anything.
Okay, thank you.
Our next question is from Absalon Alcarez. Your line is open.
Yeah, you talk about the previous question in regards of virtual machines that IBM has some kind of documentation. Do you know where is that I can read it? Or do you know what is the position for IBM for virtual machines for using with MQ series?
I believe it's a tech note on the website. I don't have a URL immediately to hand.
Okay.
I'll see if I can find one.
And which is your next week migration? It will cover migrations between 7.0 to 7.1, or it will include some migrations from 6.0 to 7.1?
It's going to cover migrations from, 7.01 and 7.1, not from version 6.
Okay. Do you have any documentation on the website for that purpose?
Yeah, if you look in the Info Center under Migration Path,
yep.
There's a whole page there dedicated to the migration of the various releases that kind of pop you through them and what you need to do, and what's supported, what's not.
Okay.
So Migration Path is what you want to search on.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Our next question comes from Tim Adams. Your line is open.
Hi, yes. I was wondering, since we can now specify directory path, does this open us up for being able to share a single installation across several servers? For instance, if we have 100 queue managers today, we have to upgrade each one. Could we have, a group of queue managers that all represent like a dev environment pointing to a single installation to speed up the upgrade?
Yes, yeah, so on a system, if you have a bunch of dev queue managers pointing to one installation and you want to move them to another, you can install the other version of MQ on the same machine. You would have to run the set MQM command once for each queue manager that you wanted to move over to the new installation, though. So, I mean, they wouldn't be entirely in a group, but it'd be fairly simple to do, 10 in a row.
But what if they're on different, these are on different servers, not on the same server?
You're talking about like a network drive with the installation image on it.
Exactly, like a mini disk or something like that.
Yeah, I don't think that's currently something that we support, but it doesn't seem like it'd be potentially very hard to do, but at the moment the documentation does say to install it on each machine.
Okay.
I don't think we're quite there yet.
Okay, thanks a lot.
Surely.
And I'd mention if you have a requirement for that, there's a way to submit a requirement form into that we can pass on to development.
Right. And that's also probably true. I'm sorry for the gentleman who asked earlier about iSeries. Always we're happy to take feedback and things like that. So, please do let us know.
And could you briefly just tell how do we do that?
I'd say probably...
Yeah, if you shoot me an email or any of us an email, I'll be happy to send you the form. We can just attach it to an email and send it to you.
Great. Thank you.
Sure.
Thank you. Our next question is from Carlos. Your line is open.
Hi. This is about the MQ version 7.1 with message blocker version 8. I heard about there is not current compatibility. And I'd like to know if is work is some work about this, because I have a customer that using Blocker with WebSphere Transformation Extender, and they want to install the MQ version 7.1.
As far as I know, that's something that's being worked on, but I don't think that that's yet entirely sorted. I guess perhaps the thing to do would be if you wanted to send us an email note on that, perhaps we could find out a bit more. I just know that it's something that's being worked on.
Okay, thank you.
Surely. Sorry, I wish I had the full answer for you on that.
We have no further questions on the phone.
Thank you, Jackie. And at this point in time, we will conclude the presentation.